Amen. You can open your Bibles to Zechariah chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4. For those UJ students, of course, that is the second to last book in the Old Testament, in case you guys didn't know, okay. I know all the VIT students knew that immediately, okay. Amen. Okay, and I love the UJ's guys. But I learned something interesting that the keynote will come up on the screen in a second here, about the Titanic. I actually happened to be watching a National Geographic program over the holidays, and something fascinating came up that I didn't know about the Titanic. And what happened was that back in those days, radios could only send or receive at one time. So you couldn't be sending and receiving messages at the same time. So if you were busy sending a message, then no messages could come in. Or if you were busy receiving messages, you couldn't at the same time be sending out messages. And so what happened on the Titanic is a bunch of the first class passengers on the Titanic wanted to send a message to their relatives picking them up in New York and were saying, listen, the captain says we'll arrive early in New York, and so please be ready in New York Harbor to receive us early. And so the operator had a bunch of these messages that he'd received from the first class passengers, and so he was trying to send these messages out, and he was typing Morse code and sending these messages to tell them, look, I think we're going to arrive early. Now, what happened was there was another ship a little further ahead of them on its way to New York called the Californian. And they were seeing these huge icebergs, appearing. So he was sending messages out, knowing that the Titanic was just a little while behind him, saying, watch out for the ice. It's very dangerous right now. So this guy, the operator, is trying to send these messages out from the Titanic, and he can't because he's getting all these warnings. So he actually sends a message to the Californian operator saying, shut up. I cannot send my messages out while you keep blocking the radio. So the guy on the Californian is like, oh, okay. He goes to the captain, he says, listen, I'm trying to warn them, and the guy told me to shut up. So the captain said, go to bed. And he sent that radio operator to sleep. Now, we know the story. What happens is, a few hours later, the Titanic hits an iceberg, cuts a big hole down the side of the Titanic. The Titanic begins to sink. The closest ship to the Titanic is the Californian. So the radio operator sends out a message, mayday, mayday, we're busy sinking, we need help. And the message goes out to the ships nearby. The Californian is only literally an hour sailing away, could get there in time and rescue these hundreds of passengers that they didn't prepare for with the lifeboats. But the guy who operates the radio is asleep because he was sent to bed because the operator said, shut up, I don't want to hear your message of warning. Small things can make a big difference. And that is the title of our sermon series for the next couple of weeks, is Small Things, Big Difference. And we're going to be talking about how our thoughts, how our words, and how our habits, small things, can make a profound difference in our lives. And so we're going to start off in Zechariah chapter 4, and we're going to read together from verse 6 here. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. It says there, so he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. What are you, O mighty mountain, before Zerubbabel? You will become level ground, and then he will bring out the capstone to shouts of, God bless it, God bless it. Then the word of the Lord came to me. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of his temple. His hands will complete it. Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. Who despises the day of small things? Men will rejoice when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. Now, you may be thinking, what on earth is going on here? Okay, so what happens is, of course, the Jews have sinned. They've fallen into idolatry. And what happens is God sends in the Babylonians, and they are sent off into captivity for 70 years. Then what happens is King Cyrus is raised up by God. Cyrus is now a Persian king. He says, I want you Jews to go back to your homeland. I want you to rebuild your city. So this whole bunch of people arrive with Zerubbabel and Ezra. There's a couple of waves of them come back. And they come back to their country, which is a catastrophe. It's broken down. All their houses are in disrepair. The wall around Jerusalem is destroyed. It's broken down. In a few years, Nehemiah will come and fix it. The temple, the place where they worship, is rubble. It's just piles of bricks there, okay? So these guys come back and they're discouraged. They're very discouraged about their homeland. And here, Zechariah is given a message, and he says to them, he says, listen, he says, don't be discouraged by small beginnings in verse 10. He says, who despises the day of small things? Men will rejoice when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. So these guys were beginning to rebuild the temple, but the work seemed to be very slow. And so the NLT version says here in verse 10, he says, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. He says, don't get discouraged that you look and you think, man, are we making any progress? There's so much work to be done. This is such a big task, and it just doesn't seem like we're getting there. You ever felt that about anything in your life? Ever felt like you had a huge task in front of you or a huge thing to do, and it just felt like, man, I don't know, am I making any progress at all? And God says, do not be discouraged by small beginnings. Every big project begins with small starts. And you know, oftentimes in our lives, you know, we want to make changes in our lives. We think, hey, I want to change. I want to change who I am. I want to have a new 2015. It's going to be awesome. And what we do is we set these huge goals for ourselves. I mean, I'm going to lose 20 kilos by February 1st. I'm going to be totally different. I'm going to be the most disciplined man. I'm going to be the most, you know, loving person. And we set these huge goals for ourselves. And then we discourage ourselves because we fail, because we've set something too big. And God here is saying, he's saying, don't be discouraged by small beginnings, by small starts, because if you stick with it, great things can happen. Great things can happen in your lives. Maybe you've had some goals for this year where you want to be spiritual. Maybe you set some goals. I want to be more spiritually minded as a person. That's what I want to be. But you think to yourself, man, I'm so distracted. You know, I get fired up, and for 3 days I have great quiet times, and then 4 and 5 and 6 days I'm just distracted. I want to be spiritually minded, but I don't know. I'm just what have you. You ever felt that? You know, you can just a small daily habit can transform us. Do you realize that if you say, okay, I'm going to take 20 minutes every day, and I'm going to be serious about it. Just 20 minutes. You've got hundreds in any given day, all right? You know, I'm going to take 20, and I'm going to read my Bible for 20 minutes a day. Do you realize that you can read the entire Bible in a year? So think about how different we would be spiritually if we made this small habit something that we just did every day without fail. That means every year of your life, you would read the entire Bible, cover to cover, every book in the Bible, every year of your spiritual life. Think about how much spiritual food and input, and you're getting the big picture, and you're understanding different books in the Bible you never understood before, just by having this small habit that you do every day. It's amazing, isn't it? You know, small habits can make a big difference to our weight too. You may say, okay, I want to lose 10 kilos. Do you realize that if you make a decision, I'm going to make sure that for 15 minutes a day, I just walk around the neighborhood or walk around, but every day I do this walk, okay? And I take one unhealthy food thing, one thing in my diet, whether it's sweets or chips or something, you say, I'm going to take one of those things and remove them, that you can lose 5 kilos in a month. You can. I'm telling you. I read it up on it, okay? But here's the thing. You got to make this small choice and do it every day for 30 days. You can do it. It's a small food choice and a small exercise habit can change your life. All right. It can make a difference. The Message translation, verse 10 says, "Does anyone dare to despise this day of small beginnings? They'll change their tune when they see Zerubbabel setting the last stone in place." See, you'll change your tune if you make those habits and you see 5 kilos disappear. Amen. Okay. You'll change your tune. You know, God is saying, listen, he says, just make those small changes and stick with them. And he says, you guys are discouraged in Israel. He says, the people that have mocked you will change their tune when they see the new temple completely rebuilt, because you've begun day after day with small things. Now, another interesting thing that he says in this passage in Zechariah 4, verse 6, it says, "Not by might or by power, but by my spirit." We want by might and by power. We want to see quick, radical, miraculous changes take place. Dramatic things change in our lives, don't we? We like by might and by power. But oftentimes, God seems to prefer a different path. He says, this rebuilding of the temple is not actually going to happen by might or power or some miraculous thing, but it's going to happen by my spirit. It's going to happen by you guys diligently, day after day, rebuilding the temple. You know, if you look how God even built this universe, or if you look how he developed his nation, Israel, he took one guy, Abraham, he says, you become a father of a whole nation. And then he took hundreds of years, even 1,000 years, to actually build out his nation, Israel. He's not in a real hurry, is he? Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. God actually likes these little things diligently done. Now, certainly he's capable of miraculous things. We read in the Bible, he can do big things. But what we forget when we read our Bibles, we read these incredible things, and then we page a few pages and we see, wow, look at that. We don't realize how many years take place between these pages of the Bible we read. And so often God is into the little things that are done daily and faithfully. You know, the other interesting thing to look as you read your Bible is how often it's just one thing, one habit, one change, one act of repentance that actually affects a person's whole life. You know, these scriptures are going to flash up on the screen, but Jesus, he's spending some time with Martha, and he says to Martha, he says, only one thing is needed. Not 100 things in your life, not 50 things. He says to Martha, only one thing is needed. It's interesting. Paul said this. He says, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind me, I press on. Take hold of that which Jesus took hold of me. Here is the most famous evangelist in all history. He is the most effective church planter we know. One of the busiest guys that you ever read about. And he says, listen, he says, there's only one thing I do. One thing, one focus, one main priority. David said this, one thing I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Here is a king. He's got to run a whole country. He was a shepherd. He was a warrior. He was a poet. He's a statesman. He's a husband of quite a few wives. He's a dad of quite a few kids. He's got a lot of distractions in his life. And he says, one thing I desire. One main priority in my life. Interesting enough, Jesus said to the rich young ruler when he came up to him, he said to him, one thing you lack. Go sell your possessions and give them to the poor. You know, this guy came up to Jesus and said, hey, listen, I want to go to heaven. What do I need to do? And Jesus said, there is literally one thing standing between you and eternity in heaven with God. One thing standing between you and salvation. And the sad thing is about this guy is he wasn't willing to do that one thing. It's amazing how small things can make a big difference in our lives, isn't it? And so over the next 2 weeks, we're going to be talking about our thoughts and how they affect us, our words and our habits. Because you know what happens is our thoughts become our words. What we think about is eventually what comes out of our mouth. What we talk about eventually becomes our actions. It's what we do. And then our actions become our habits, and our habits determine our eternal destiny. And it all begins with what we dwell on and what we think about. And so today we're going to be talking about our thoughts. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, and we're just going to, and then you'll see a passage on the screen there. As you're turning there, we're going to read this passage. We're going to be talking about our thoughts here. Proverbs 23, verse 7, says this: "For as he thinks in his heart, so he is." That's, of course, the New King James Version translation. In other words, what we think becomes us. It becomes who we are. Our thought world is very, very important to our lives. You know, the word think, thought, or mind occurs 700 times in the Bible. 700 times God is talking about how important our thought world is. Because everything begins here. It begins with our thoughts. So if we think, well, I can't do this, then guess what? You probably can't or won't. Or if you think, well, I believe through God's power working in me, I can, then guess what? You probably will. It all begins here. If you dwell on your problems all day long and you just think about all the challenges in your life and all the difficulties and all the difficult people God has put in your life and you just think all day long about all your problems, you're going to feel overwhelmed, aren't you? If you're thinking about opportunities that God is going to provide you, the opportunities to change your circumstances, the opportunity to change your life, and if you're thinking about, I wonder what opportunities God is going to provide this year for me to change, guess what? You'll find those opportunities to change your life for the better. If you are feeling like a victim, and you're thinking like a victim, and it's, oh, me, and da-da-da-da-da, and you've got that victim mindset, then you will become a victim in life. Everything that happens to you will, well, there you go, you know. I mean, it's just a self-fulfilling prophecy. Or if you believe, I'm a victor, I can overcome these problems. God would not allow me to be tempted beyond what I can bear. I can overcome, I can do it. Then guess what will happen to you? You will overcome those challenges in your life. All begins in our minds. So I want you to do a little thought inventory. I'm going to put up a little scale on the screen here. And I want you to rate yourself right now how you do on this scale, okay? From worried to peaceful. So for example, okay, if you spend a lot of time worrying about, you know, your children and their future and what's going to happen, or worrying about your health and, you know, the bunions on your feet or the, you know, whatever you have, or worrying about, you know, your bank account and or your job or your future, you know, then you're on that scale, that side, all right? Or if you're filled with peace, think I have my problems like everyone else has their problems. I'm going to do what I can about, you know, fixing those problems, but I'm going to trust in God's promises that His will be done at the end of the day. And you're filled with peace, then scale yourself towards peaceful. So just write it down on your piece of paper or whatever it is, all right? Or if on the negative and positive side, all right, are your thoughts filled with negativity each day, okay? Critical thoughts. That you just, you can't help yourself. You walk past somebody and you, why are they wearing that? And, you know, look at that hairdo. Like, what kind of a person wears their hair like that, you know? And then, you know, oh, they got blue and black. No one has blue. That's so last year. Everyone knows it's pastels, you know. I don't know. It's just, there's just criticalness just comes out of every pore of your body, all right? You have fault-finding, without mercy, discontented, cynical thoughts. Okay, rate yourself there. Or you're faithful. You got faithful. You see the positive. You see the best in everybody. You see, okay, the shoes don't match the belt, but, you know, they're a good person, you know? They've got a good heart. You see the best in other people, okay? You're optimistic. You're content. Then scale yourself towards that side, okay? Or on the other side, are you worldly? Are you eternally minded, okay? Is your mind constantly thinking about worldly concerns, all right? Materialistic things, okay? That your success, your popularity, your financial progress, okay? Or is your mindset on eternal things? Are you thinking about what really matters for eternity? The condition of your soul. How spiritual you are. How you grow in your character. Are you concerned about others' spirituality? Does it bother you that you work with people that you know when they die, they're not going to be with God for eternity? And the truth of the matter is you haven't really made much effort to talk them out of where they're going. You really haven't made much of an effort to invite them out to church or do a Bible study. There's not really an eternal focus. You're just worried about worldly things. Scale yourself there. My guess is that all of us as we sit here feel like, you know what? I need to improve my thought world. I need to change the way I think. And that's why we wanted to look at Romans chapter 2, because God feels the same way. Look over there in Romans chapter 2, what God says about this. Oh, I'm sorry, Romans 12. Sorry, my bad. Yeah, just making sure you guys are awake, amen. All right. Okay, Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve of what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know, the Bible gives us something very challenging and also very encouraging here. It says, do not be conformed to the way in which this world thinks, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Or the NLT, again, translates it like this. This will be the NLT translation. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. How encouraging is that? The Bible says God can change you. He can change your life. He can change who you are as a person by teaching you how to change your mind, the way you think. It's awesome. It's amazing. We have a lot of dysfunctional thinking patterns as people. We do. Either we have that victim mentality where we self-sabotage ourselves because we say, I'm not good enough, I'm useless, I can't, and these patterns just play over in our mind, and it affects us negatively. Or we have these self-inflated, I'm better than everyone else, and, you know, thoughts of pride and what have you, and it ruins us spiritually. We get stuck in dysfunctional, worldly ways of thinking. And God says, I can transform you. I can change your life by changing the way you think. So how? How does God tell us we can do this? How can we change the way we think? Well, really, the Bible gives us two keys about how we change our thought patterns. And the first one is this. We need to take captive destructive thoughts. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Take captive destructive thoughts. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish strongholds and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. It's really amazing here. He says, you have to remember, you're in a spiritual war. And where Satan begins is he begins with your mind. He begins with your thoughts. And he says, listen, the battles, the fight, you know, the weapons that we use are different from the weapons of the world. We're not interested in guns and knives and, you know, rockets or what have you. He says, we are in a spiritual battle for our minds. And we use spiritual weapons to fight them. We demolish arguments that set themselves up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. The NLT describes that verse or translates that verse like this. It says, we capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. You know, the message is clear. You and I can control our thought world. I remember as a young Christian, I was confessing some just really weird, horrible thoughts that I'd had. And I got together with a brother that was discipling me at the time. And I just said, man, these weird, horrible thoughts come into my mind. And I just want to be open about it. And he said, oh, thanks. He said, okay, you need to stop. And I remember looking at him like he was saying, you need to fly to Mars. I was like, what do you mean stop thinking? I have never thought that I have any control over what goes in and out of my brain. I mean, these weird thoughts come and you say, oh, well, I don't know where they came from and, you know, and what have you. And he said, you need to stop. And I was like, what do you mean? And he started to teach me how to take control of my thought world. It changed me completely. But sometimes we think that we are captive of whatever thoughts come to us. And God says, you're not the captive, my friend. You need to take captive these weird, horrible thoughts and make them obedient to Christ. You know, there is a difference between, again, and this is an important distinction that I learned here. There's a big difference between when we get tempted with bad thoughts and when we allow those thoughts to take root in our mind. And there's a passage in Deuteronomy that describes it beautifully. Deuteronomy 15, verse 9, it'll come up on the screen here. And it says this, be careful to not harbor this wicked thought. See, all of us at different points in the day, you know, have strange, weird, sinful, you know, ungodly thoughts that kind of pop in your brain, right? You ever been in those situations, right? And it's just like, what on earth happened? Where did that come from? What have you? None of us can control that. That's the devil's job, is to get you to think these bad thoughts, all right? So he's going to send you these negative, faithless, lustful, hateful thoughts. And what God says, he says, listen, he says, what your job is, don't give them harbor. Don't dwell on them. Don't allow them to take root in your mind. Just send them on their way. It's almost like in the ancient days, they had plague ships, okay? And a plague ship, what that was that people that were dying of a particular disease that they couldn't cure and they didn't know what to do with them, they all had, you know, the plague or bubonic plague. They would take all these people and they'd say, okay, you're going to get on the ship. And they put them all on the ship and they say, out you go, sail off somewhere, okay? Because they knew if they left them in the city, they would infect other people and kill them. And so you had these plague ships. They would sail the seas with all these people dying of this disease, all right? And they would have to have a flag on their ship, you know? And they would come by a harbor, Cape Town Harbor, and, you know, and they would send out their gunships and, you know what? Keep sailing, go to PE, all right? You know, whatever. We don't want you here, all right? And they would send them on their way, these plague ships. This is the concept that he says. He says, don't give them harbor. Don't allow them to come and land in your ship, you know, in your harbor and infiltrate your mind, all right? And the poor fools that let the plague ship in, okay, they would let them in and these people would run around the city infecting everybody and killing everybody. So they'd say, no harbor here, off you go. That's the thought behind all of this, all right? So we just need to make sure that when these diseased, horrible, disgusting thoughts come our way, or unrighteous thoughts, that we say, no harbor here, keep sailing, buddy. So, you have a hateful, revengeful thought. Somebody has harmed you. Somebody has done you in. Somebody has cheated you out of money. And every time you think of that person, it's just, I mean, there's some, and what the Bible says is, do not give that thought harbor. It is mine to avenge, says the Lord. And so you take that hateful, revengeful thought and you say, keep on sailing, buddy, okay? It is God's job to deal with this. He'll deal with it, not mine. You just let it go, amen? You know, maybe you have a self-piteous thought and you just keep thinking about how terrible your life is and how hard it's been and how you just, it's just, you know, oh, you know, poor me. And then you think, hang on a second now. In Christ, I'm more than a conqueror. And you say, self-piteous thought? Keep going, buddy. Just keep on sailing. There's no place here. Maybe a lustful thought comes in. Maybe it's a girl you saw at gym or one of the secretaries at work that was, you know, wearing, you know, stuff that keeps moving, you know, closer and closer, all right? And it's like you wish there was more material, okay? And or whatever. Maybe it's a guy that's dressing very inappropriately and showing all his muscles and his bits or what have you. And you just say, you know what? I don't want those thoughts. And you just say, yuck. I don't want that. I'm a Christian. I want pure thoughts. And you just say, keep sailing, buddy. I don't want you. Maybe it's materialistic thoughts. Greedy, self-centered. You know, how can I get more? How can I, you know, and it's just more, more, bigger, you know, fancier, German, you know, Swedish, all right, whatever. And it's just all these kind of materialistic thoughts. And then you think, hang on a second now. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And so you say, no, you know what? I'm actually going to think, how can I be more generous? How can I give more to other people less fortunate? Let me stop thinking all the time about how I can get more. You know, that's what God is saying. Don't let them marinate. Don't give them harbor. I know that some people, and this is a great example from Jesus, when he was tempted, what did he do? Quoted scriptures. We know that from Luke 4. So the devil would try to tempt him to think something, and he would just quote a scripture. So you have one of these thoughts, you have a memory scripture prepared for that thought, and you say, mm-mm, and you just quote that scripture over and over. It helps. It makes a difference, okay? Or sometimes you can say, I know my wife did this at one point. She was having a particular thought. She said, you know, every time Satan gets me to think this thought, I'm going to pray for a lost soul to get saved. So, Satan, every time you try to tempt me, I'm praying for someone who's lost. And it replaces the bad thought with, and it helps. It makes a difference. Okay? Sometimes what I do is you get this weird thought, and I shake my head. And I don't know why it works, but it helps for me. It sort of, and it goes. And it's like, amen, it's gone, baby. All right. So, if I'm ever, you know, with you, and I go, okay, you know, I'm just trying to get rid of some weird thought. All right? It helps me. It may not work for you, but you got to have these strategies to just not give these bad thoughts harbor in your head. Amen? Take them captive. Make them obedient to Christ. Tell them, no harbor here. Keep sailing, horrible thought. The second thing we can do after we've taken captive these bad thoughts is that we need to fix our thoughts on spiritual things. Philippians chapter 4. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. God says the best strategy to keeping bad stuff out of your mind is fill your mind. Fill it up with good things, with pure things, with noble things, with excellent things, with praiseworthy things. And so that's why we recommend and we encourage every Christian that what you do in the morning, the first thing you do in the morning is you get up and you start reading your Bible. And yes, it's not legalistic. Yes, you can do your quiet time in the evening, but it's one of the best things you can do to fix your mind on spiritual things, to get your mind focused on godly things, because then what happens is whatever you've read in the Bible, you start thinking about it during the day, and you think about God loves all people. And so then you walk past that person that is, you know, not wearing the matching clothing, and instead of thinking about, you know, their fashion sense, what you think about is, you know, that person could be lost. that person could be far from God. I wonder if God will give me an opportunity to share with him. And so what happens is that whatever you thought about in the morning carries through your day. It's your mind is thinking about those things, those pure, holy things. The NLT, again, verse 2, describes it like this. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Get your mind up. Get it out of this world, out of the gutter, out of all the terrible things that are going on, and think about the heavenly things. You know, one of the most helpful things, again, you know, I went to Wits University, of course, a great university in South Africa, okay? And here we go, come on, amen, all right. And I graduated, and back in those days, you had to do national service. You had to go to national service. And so I didn't want to do any kind of, you know, violent or whatever you think. So I went to Pierdier School, which is personal services. And so so I went there. But you still end up, what ends up happening is the university graduates end up getting put there. And these young 18-year-old guys come out of school. They are your corporal for your troop, and they do your basic training. So what happens is, here I am, you know, I'm 23 or what have you. You've got this 18-year-old guy. And he is screaming at me in Afrikaans and swearing at me, for not doing my bed, you know, the way it's square, the way it should be, or what have you. And everything, and I love Afrikaners, so, you know, there's no, but you know, when they're yelling at you and what have you, and you're just standing there and the guy's nose is here, there's not righteous thoughts that you start thinking, you know. And what you start thinking is, you know, yo, snotnius, I don't know, you... Are you allowed to say that in church? I'm not sure, okay. But you know, and you, and so, yeah. So what I would think is there's a passage show says, show proper respect to everyone. So I'll be standing there and it's all those Afrikaans, you know, words coming at you and show proper respect to everyone, you know. And again, instead of allowing my mind to go to all kinds of bad places, it's God's word. Those pure, noble things is what's inside of you. It helps. It makes a difference, okay? It helps you. You know, God even shows us in nature. If you look at vultures, okay? Vultures, they're like the dark. Press it again. All right, there we go. Okay. Vultures, what they seek out is what? Death. They seek carcasses, and they search it out, and that's what they look for, and guess what? That's what they find. Now, hummingbirds are different. Hummingbirds look for nectar, and so they fly around every day looking for nectar, and guess what they find? They find nectar everywhere. And so you've got to decide whether you're going to let your mind be a vulture or a hummingbird. Because if you want to find horrible, negative, deathly, cynical things, you will find it everywhere. But if you want to find good, pure, noble, good, spiritual things, you will also find them. All that matters is you decide, is my brain going to be focused on being a hummingbird or a vulture? We decide that. It's in our control. And so my challenge for all of us today, as I close here, my challenge for all of us today is I want you to have one thought. Remember, it's one thing that can make a big difference in your life. I want you to maybe go back over that little thought inventory that you had there and look through those scales and see where is the most dysfunctional, broken part of my thought world, okay? And pick out one thought that's going to change you this week, and it's going to change the way you think. And it's one concept or one idea or one scripture that you're going to use. So maybe maybe you are you're very selfish by nature. And you think, okay, I need to become selfless. And so the verse that you think of is that verse where it talks about less of me and more of him. And then everywhere you go during the day, you think about less of me and more of him. Less of me, more. And that thought, you just run through your mind 100 times in the day. And you know what's going to start happening? Is you're going to start becoming less selfish, less self-focused, and more focused on God and more focused on other things. Maybe for you, it's anxiety and fear. It's just it's just anxious, fearful thoughts are what you challenge with. And so you pick up that verse that talks about, let the peace of Christ that transcends understanding guard my heart and mind in Jesus Christ. And so 100 times a day, the hummingbird, that's what you're thinking of. I'm going to let the peace of Christ that transcends understanding. It doesn't even make sense in this broken world we live. But the peace of Christ that transcends understanding is going to guard my heart and mind, and I'm going to be at peace even when there's all kinds of reasons why I should be anxious or afraid. That one thought, I want you to have one thought that will change your week, that will change the way you think. Because small changes can make a big difference in our lives. Thank you very much. Amen.